because firefighters' identity is around taking care of other people, they often then neglect themselves and don't even think about taking care of themselves.
Greetings, Seattle firefighters. This is Listen Up L27, and I'm your host, Jen Pennington. Sitting down with us again today is physician Dr. Marcy Hamrick and clinical psychologist Dr. Beth Murphy from the Station 2 Clinic in Belltown. Today, our topic is motivation. What the heck is preventing you from getting the care you need? Or maybe you've already had your physical, but you're not following up on that referral? All right, let's fire it up with our docs from Station 2 and get into it. So Marcy, firefighters are really great at taking care of other people, but why are some of them really not that good at taking care of themselves?
I often use the cliche of, you know, when you're on the airplane, they say put on your oxygen mask so that you can then help others. And I think that is actually true, that firefighters as caregivers should be taking good care of themselves in order to be able to take care of the community and their family and their other job and all of the things that often firefighters have on their plate in their lives. So I think that that is the most obvious answer, is just the caring for others as a habit, and it is not ingrained in them to take care of themselves. But I do wonder, there's a chunk of maybe a third of the department that has not come in for their AFME. And I often wonder, what is that about? Is it people who are afraid of what we might find out, or afraid that someone else might find out something about them that might threaten their job? Because we are completely, like any other health facility, bound by the rules of HIPAA. We do not share any information with the city, the department, the union, the healthcare trust. It stays here, just like at any other medical clinic. But I think there is some fear, perhaps based on some events that happened a long time ago, that their information may not be entirely secure.
I think there's that, and there's probably some other factors too. We always think that, oh, I've got the kids, or I've always an excuse in there, like why we don't. You know, we've all done it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think of when I hear that, like, oh, I've got all these things, that there is a difference between what is urgent, like what getting the kid to the soccer practice, versus what is important, which is taking care of your health. And often those things are conflicting, and we do what is in front of us, which is what is most urgent. And then we neglect the things that are most important, unfortunately.
And if you neglect the thing that's most important, you're not going to be able to do the thing that you think is urgent.
That's right.
Getting your kid to soccer.
That's right. So, absolutely.
Yeah. And Beth, I think you have some points you'd like to make too on this subject.
Well, I think that, you know, I think it kind of like goes along with what Marcy did say, is I think that there's some fear around going in. I mean, one thing is, we kind of alluded, your information is going to get out and risk your job. That certainly is an attitude that I know, like in my department when I was there, that was the big resistance against those annual physicals. And they were annual, and then they went every 2 years. That there was always pushback. It's like, well, I don't want to do it because you're going to find something out about me and then you're going to fire me. I can tell you that there have been cases where there have been mental health professionals involved in some capacity with departments. I mean, not necessarily this one, other departments, where they felt they were required to report back to the chief about their concerns, like this person has PTSD, they should not be working. And then they took it back, they took it to the chief. And then the person ended up losing their job. I mean, that's happened a lot. And that's not, that doesn't help the case when you're trying to bring people in to get them healthy, to keep them healthy so that they can work and retire healthy. You know, those things those kinds of things happening and those stories going around, I mean, and even if it was something that happened 10 years ago, it's like that's still used as proof for why they can't trust going in. It's like that's not helpful. But I mean, Marcy is right. And even though she's not working for the department, you know, it's like that separation is not enough for some people. And that would be, that may be true for me as well. So I really try and make people understand that it's like, unless they come in and they tell me that they are abusing a child or an elder adult, or they're planning on killing somebody, I'm not going to tell anybody. Even if they tell me that they're thinking of killing themselves, that's a May situation. So that's the kind of situation where we would work together and I would get them to help somewhere. You know, it's like that's a situation where I wouldn't have to report that, which some people think it's like, well, if I tell you I'm thinking of killing myself, you're going to have to tell somebody. It's like, not necessarily. Because what happens is you go to the hospital and then the hospital releases you to somebody like me. So it's like, I'm well equipped to handle that. So that's one fear part. I think the other fear that can come up is like fear of judgment. And that could be for a lot of different reasons. And I really think it's more of their self-judgment. Not that anybody else is judging them, but you know, they judge themselves. But they're afraid that their doctor is going to say something to them, or that they're going to be berated because they didn't follow through with something.
Well, they will be.
I guess it depends. It depends on the doctor and the relationship.
Marcy's planning, so
And you know, there are some doctors out there that they do say things to their patients that can make it sound like they're judging. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I mean, maybe it's just the language, and the language you choose to use, it does make a difference. But I really think it's more of the self-judgment coming through and getting projected onto this physician.
Right.
Or psychologist.
I completely agree. I mean, it's funny when people come in and they're like hanging their head low and I told you I would lose 10 pounds and I gained 5. And I know that they're human just like myself, and we all have the best of intentions, and it may or may not happen. And I think you're right that it's them judging themselves, and they had this goal and they haven't done it. And if anything, that self-judgment, that self-criticism actually makes it harder for them to meet their goals. So I meet that sense of shame with just as much love and compassion as I can muster, because I think that is what is going to actually motivate people, is feeling like they are cared for. And it might inspire the part of them that cares for themselves. That is my hope, at least.
Yeah.
Is it because, remember, Marcy is not your mom.
I've been accused of that.
Yeah.
You will only get love and compassion, but she's not your mom.
That's right. That's right.
I love that. And I think it was great too what you said, Beth, about people think they're going to be judged, but that is what they're putting on themselves, thinking that. And then we sort of started to talk about referrals, and we've all done it. I got one right now. I swear after this, I'm going to call. But we put that referral aside, and then we feel guilty and sheepish the next time we go in to see the doctor. And Marcy, there was a story that you told me that I really liked when we were talking about this. I'd like you to relay that story about the referral that almost didn't happen.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people that I see can relate to this story. So if someone came in and I referred them for colonoscopy for the very important colon cancer screening that I recommend for those 40 years and older. But then I saw the same person the next year, and he said, I'm so sorry, I haven't done it, but I intend to do it this year. So go ahead and refresh that referral for me. This time I'm going to do it. And then the following year, yet again, hanging head in shame, I haven't done it again. And so I talked to him about, you know, what are the obstacles? What's keeping you from doing it? And it was, you know, a couple things. It was, you know, I've heard how horrible the prep is for it. But mostly just the feeling of I'm so busy, like it's a thing. I have to take time away and get a ride, and you know, it's not insignificant. And I just haven't been able to make the time for it. And after I leave here, it just doesn't feel as important as when I'm sitting here with you. And I totally get that feeling. So in talking to him about his obstacles for going to get the colonoscopy, he's like, I'm just busy all the time. I have a business on the side. My kids have soccer practice. And I laid it out and said, dude, if you have colon cancer, you're not going to be around to take your kids to soccer practice. So I think that helped, because he did ultimately, after that chat, go get his colonoscopy. And lo and behold, he actually had an early colon cancer. And had he waited, he probably, I mean, a year later even, he might have not survived that colon cancer. So thank goodness. I think the moral of the story is that, you know, we place these referrals, and I think it sometimes feels less important or less urgent for sure. And yet the reason why we're doing those referrals is to screen for things that we know firefighters are at higher risk than non-firefighters for. And we want to know sooner. You want to catch things sooner. It's much more easily treated. It affects your life far less if we can identify it sooner than later.
I think that's true for all of us, for sure. And I do think, you know, the way that Station 2 thinks of the services that you provide and everything, including the physicals, mental health evaluations, injury prevention. We do have physical therapy as well. You can get an evaluation with your AFME. You can schedule that at the same time. You know, along with your primary care provider, it seems like you need to almost think of yourself like an athlete that's got like all these specialists around you, and they're trying to make your performance better, and they're trying to make sure that you're not in a lot of pain and that you can go on and do great at your job. That's a great motivator to think about. I have this team. You should take full advantage of that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a great mindset to have. And one image that I have, I don't know car racing very well, but at least in the movies, the car like hauls ass around the track however many times, and then they pull in. A bunch of people gather around the car to clean the windshield and do something with the engine and change the tires. And sometimes I think of the AFME that way. And then the car has been checked up and the motor's running properly and the tires are still safe. And then it can go and it can perform at a high quality level.
The car is aligned. We're getting it down the track.
Right. And if you didn't stop, the tires would blow and the engine would catch on fire and like all hell would break loose. You know, if the car was too proud to get help.
There you go.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. So here's your chance. Reach through the microphone and motivate somebody to come in.
Can I beg?
Begging? We're not too proud to beg, yes.
Right. I feel like the best motivation is, I tell people that I feel like my job is to help people retire happy, healthy, and well. Because I feel like all of these firefighters are sort of taking one for the team for this very noble career. And they get to retire early for a reason. And I want them to be able to enjoy their lives after having given so much to others. I just feel like it is my purpose to keep them well. And that involves being reminded of how important it is to get good sleep and how important it is to have healthy nutrition that serves you well and how important it is to stay mobile and active and how important it is to make sure your mental health is in reasonable shape. Like all of those things and making sure you don't have heart disease and cancer, of course, but all of those things are so important to help people thrive. And that is my hope for people. And I think so often firefighters get into this mode of just, I'm going to survive and then I'm going to retire and then I will recuperate myself. And I think that's possible to some degree, but if you don't take care of yourself while you're in it, you're possibly broken in any of a variety of ways. And the quality of life post-retirement is not going to be as rich. And I don't want that for people. So that's the motivator, is that like image of someone who is healthy and happy and wearing a Hawaiian shirt, sitting in a hammock after they've retired. That is my fantasy for all of the folks that I see.
The idea of maybe even visualizing what's important to you. Pictures of your family, maybe that trip to a beach island somewhere, whatever it is that motivates you to get to that place or take care of those people. I think that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what you're talking about is really getting down to your big why. You know, you can say, well, it's because I want to be healthy, but it's like, well, why do you want to be healthy? Well, because I want to be able to be active. Well, why do you want to be active? And a lot of times it ultimately boils down to, I want to have time with my family. I want to play with my kids. I can tell you, like, for me, I've had 9 joint surgeries and 2 on my head now. I've had a lot of surgeries. I do not recommend that. It actually is hard to get up and down off the floor because my knees, and I have grandkids. I've got 3 rambunctious little boy grandkids and a little girl who, like, I'm pretty sure is as rambunctious as the others. I just want to be able to get down on the floor with them and play. That's my big why.
It's a good one. It's an important one. Yeah.
Certainly.
And having a picture of them helps to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I want to thank you both again. You're always a pleasure to speak with, and you always have wise words of wisdom. Thank you. It's today's episode, and I'm your host, Jen Pennington. And until next time, this is Listen Up L27. Stay safe and stay healthy. And come in for your AFME.
And take care of your referrals.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us. Listen Up L27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.